I had hoped to speak to the police today, given these rule changes, some of which we still don't know, that take effect at midnight. Wondering if they'd, well, what happens? I mean, is really anybody going to book somebody at 11:30 if they're not, when they're breaking the curfew to drive down to the hairdresser who opens at midnight? That question was asked yesterday, and the Joan Wymo, the commander, said, no, you won't be doing any of that. Well, there's nobody available to speak from the police command today because the rules aren't written yet, it seems. On the line, Secretary of the Police Association, Wayne Gatt, good morning.
Morning, Neil.
So have police got any idea what they've got to do yet?
No, they don't. I must admit, I've had similar questions from my own members asking if we know what the go is. And look, I think it's a product of the show directions haven't properly been released yet, which is, I will say, they do run to a just-in-time model, and they have every other time, to be quite honest. We seem to get them at the last minute, but that does make it very hard for police command, to be fair to them. Like, it's hard to provide guidance to your workforce, and it's a big workforce. If you're getting them at literally the 11th hour, like we'll have members coming on to night shift, for example, tonight at 11 p.m. generally, as a general rule, they'll be wanting answers, and it's really hard for Victoria Police to mobilise and to brief them in good time. So I think it'll be left to common sense for our members. They're generally pretty good with that, and I think they have a sense, and I know because I've been talking to plenty of our members, they have a strong sense of positivity because the community is getting excited, and we're really happy to see that, Neil. We are.
But theoretically, if you're on patrol at 10 to 12 and you see cars out and about, they shouldn't be out and about. No, you're going to book them, are they?
I don't think so, Neil, to be honest. Look, I think our members get it. They're bursting at the seams too. I think most people at 11 o'clock will be going to bed, to be honest. but in real terms, look, our members haven't had resources at 11 o'clock at night to be aimlessly watching for curfew breakers. We've said that all along. So I don't think that's going to change on the final night of lockdown.
What about businesses? Will police at this stage, do you know, have any role in policing businesses to check whether the customers are vaccinated?
Or if they've made the right quotient
levels?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, though. Again, we don't know because we don't have the guidelines yet. So, you know, they're important questions because I think businesses will be looking for a wee bit of support from the police. And I don't think, to be fair, that it should be the police role walking through and patrolling that. I don't know that that's necessarily the Victoria that the community wants. But I do know that business owners will want some support. They'll clearly want to know what those CHO guidelines look like, what responsibilities that puts on business owners in particular. And they'll want to know that the police are there when they call us, because if there is a bit of aggro, then absolutely the police have to have a role in that. They need to be accessible and available to support businesses who are going to be trying to get back on their feet. And, our police force, like anybody else, wants to see them thrive and thrive quickly.
So what if somebody was refusing to show their vaccination status and there's a bit of aggro, as you say? Obviously, the police turn up and they deal with the aggravation, the aggro. That's keeping the peace. But do the police have the authority to ask to see the vaccination status?
Good question, Neil. Don't know. These are the things that are made or broken on the fine letter of the law, on the CHO directions. Unless you've got that in front of you and you know, it's impossible to tell a constable or a senior constable what they should do when they get there and they find somebody in breach of something like that. But what we do know is that if there's a breach of the peace, our members absolutely have powers under existing laws now to make sure that people are safe, that people are asked to move on. They can do that. That bit they can do. How they proceed under CHO directions is still a bit of a mystery. Hopefully we find out later today.
Gee, it's going to be a big job to get out to the troops in time, though, isn't it?
It is. And it makes for a couple of uncertain days. But Victoria Police, our members, they've been very flexible. They're getting good at having to work with last-minute, just-in-time sort of deadlines. They'll do that again, and they'll try and get on top of it as quickly as they can.
I like that phrase, the just-in-time model. I might embrace that myself. Just on another matter, the bonus payment being given to health staff who deal with COVID patients, what do you think of that? Do you want it too?
I think that horse has bolted, probably. I mean, I've got to praise the government for that initiative for our health people, because my members have ended up in hospitals too. They've been cared for by our health professionals. They've been in intensive care and the like. Our members see those patients. They see them. Sometimes they even take them in. and then they see them deteriorate in 40 minutes. So we have nothing but praise for them. Don't begrudge them at all. In fact, I think they're worth more than that. I think, though, that there will probably come a time when the government needs to consider the significant contribution our police have made to saving lives in this pandemic too. And, you know, week after week after week after week, they've put them out there on demonstration lines doing very difficult, dangerous work. It has seen them injured many times. And a thank you at some point wouldn't go astray. And I think there'll need to be a time for that. We've got a very exhausted, very tired police force now. It's been in full emergency mode for 2 years.
Yeah, they do deserve a thank you. You're quite right. What about unvaccinated members? Are you standing with them or not? People who don't want to be vaccinated? I know, what is it, about 30-odd, 40-odd?
Oh, we support vaccination, Neil. We've been very clear. We came out very early on that. We're helping quite a number of our members navigate that process. If there are a small number of members, a very, very small number of members who are challenged by the vaccination directions, we will provide them support navigating the process. But what we can't do is we can't change the environment that we're in. It's a pandemic. We can't change the fact that their job is dangerous and difficult, and we can't change the fact that that the employer has to look after them and that they need to look after the community. There are three things we can't change the outcome of.
It's going to be a rugged few days, isn't it? People are going to break out. It's going to be a bit busy for the police on the streets.
It's going to be busy, but it's going to be, I think and I hope, an uplifting period for Victorians. And, you know, look, I can feel it personally, Neil. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing people perhaps I haven't been able to see for a long, long time. And I know that so many Victorians will just be, you know, taking so much out of some of the smaller things. And I think that's heartwarming for our police to be able to watch, because they've actually seen people that had a front row seat to Victorians in crisis, feeling a lot of pain and pressure. I think we're going to take, and I know my members will take, a lot of reassurance from seeing some smiles on faces, because we haven't seen them for a little while.
Good on you. Well said. Thank you very much. Secretary of the Police Association, Wayne Gatt. What are the rules? He doesn't know either.